Alex Haley, the author of Roots, a book called Roots, had a picture in his office of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, a tortoise. And underneath that picture was written, "You can be sure I didn't get up here by myself. Bringing to bear that a turtle cannot climb a fence and sit on top of the fence post. Definitely, it is somebody who put it there. It brings to bear that we cannot fulfill our destinies alone. God built society in such a way that we will be interdependent on one another. For instance, human beings depend on plants for oxygen. Oxygen depend on human beings for carbon dioxide to process their food. And that is the way God has built the universe. The moon depends on the sun to reflect, and so on and so forth. And so you cannot get to the top of your fence alone or by yourself. And if the turtle couldn't, then you can't either. Remember that in Romans chapter 1 and verses 14, Paul declared and said, "I am a debtor." He was in debt to the people that God brought his way to process him to fulfill the destiny that God has for him. For instance, God brought Barnabas. And Barnabas got Paul into the right church. It was Barnabas who led Paul to go meet with Peter and the rest in Jerusalem. And we need such Barnabases in the whole process of our lives to get us into the right place. Barnabas means the son of encouragement. And may God bring encouragers to our lives. God brought Titus to also encourage Paul in rough times. You can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. And we need Tituses in our various levels of trying to reach our dream and our destiny. It didn't end there. God brought Priscilla and Aquila in the book of Corinthians and Romans, who risked to protect Paul. And others also gave their lives in helping Paul to reach the very dream that God has given to him. And I pray that God will bring people of this sort into our lives. We all need people, or we need, like we say in Africa, we all need helpers in life. We all need helpers. Because our lives are interdependent on one another. And I pray that God will bring your helper, to your life. That will help you. The late Miles Moreau, had this to say. He says, "Each one of us is just a sentence. We are just a sentence. And it takes a lot of those sentences to make a paragraph." And I pray that God will not just make us to remain who we are and what we are, but then he will bring connections to our lives that will stretch our lives and expand our lives so that our individual lives will become sentences written on the face of this planet. Let me also say that what has gotten you to this level won't get you to the next level. We've come so far, but whatever brought us to where we are today is not the same thing that is going to get you to where you want to go. Remember, we are talking about fulfilling destinies. And you have a destiny and a purpose to fulfill in this life. I said from the onset and from the inception of this delivery that age, in the economy of God, age does not matter. God can still use you, and God will still want to use you anyway. And so if you are going to get to your next level, then number one, you will need new revelation. New revelation. New revelation. New revelation of who Jesus is. New revelation from the Word of God. New revelation from the blessed Holy Spirit. You need fresh revelation from God. For God has said in Exodus to Moses and to the people of Israel in their journey to reach the promised land, they encamped around a mountain, and God one day spoke to Moses and said, tell the people to go forward. We need to go forward spiritually. We need to go forward in our faith. We need to go forward in the things that we are doing for the Almighty God. So he said to Moses and the people of Israel, you have occupied this mountain for too long. Tell the people to go forward. And this morning I speak prophetically over Life Spring and all of us here that God wants us to go forward. The tendency to build around a mountain for too long. All centers around quitters and campers. People that disappoint. And sometimes in going through disappointment and challenges of this nature, you are tempted to camp around the same mountain for too long without making any progress to reach out to that which God has for you in the future. And this morning I pray that you will not camp around the challenges that has confronting you for too long. You must quickly let them go. Let them go. There are some of us who are warriors. You know, we worry. But let me say to you, worry will not change your situation, your circumstance. It is only faith and letting go the past and even the present and reaching out, you know, to what is before you that will propel and progress you. So let go. Let go all the disappointments. Let go all the quitters in your life. Let go all the campers in your life. And reach out. Because God has more for you. So God said to Moses and Israel, you have occupied this mountain for too long. Tell the people to go forward. It is only those who play pity that will always stay around their mountains, because they want to use the occupation of the challenges that those mountains have brought to play pity. But don't let us play pity. If you play pity, you glorify the devil. But if you praise God, irrespective of what you go through, God is glorified. Amen. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 23 that though I go through, you are not going to stand. He said, I go through the valley of the shadow of death. It is only a shadow of death, and the enemy will make it sound as if that is your death point. That is only a shadow. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I have chosen to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So irrespective, nothing should stop you. And I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will reinforce these things into your spirit. That irrespective of what I've been through, what I'm going through, what the enemy is mounting up before me, I will go through it. And at the end of every dark tunnel, there is always a light. And may your light so shine. May your light shine. I pray that faith will well up in you this morning. Faith will well up in you. It's like all across the globe, the enemy is casting people's faith down. And it's like we have lost in our battles. Let me tell you, we have not lost. Christianity is not contingent on your feeling. And so no matter how you feel, it doesn't mean that God feels the same way. You may feel down, but God says up. Amen. You may feel weak, but the Bible says, let the weak say strong. So whatever negative that the enemy brings to our life, God has a counter answer to that situation. Yes. And God's answer to that situation is always positive and full of faith. Yes. I usually say that in life, there are facts and there are truths. Sometimes we are tempted to hinge on the facts of life for too long. The fact may be that you are not well, but the truth is that Jesus says, by his stripes, you are healed. The fact may be that you are weak, but the truth is that, let the weak say, I'm strong. The fact may be that you are poor, but let the poor say, I am rich. And sometimes too many of us are found in confessing the facts more than speaking the truth of God's way. In my life, throughout my 35, nearly 40 years of ministry, when I had my 3 years Bible college, I've learned not to walk with negative people. I may be strong in that, but you know, that's Paul. Take it for that. I'm Paul Giant. I've learned to always walk with people who speak the truth of the word of God. What God is saying. Because what man says will never have a manifestation. And if it does, it may be negative. But what God says will always change circumstances and situations in life. So instead of hinging on the facts of life, let's walk by the truth of the word of God. And it shall be well with our soul. Well with our soul. So in trying to reach the next dimension, the next level of your life, you need new revelation. New revelation. This church will grow. I want amen, people. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. It will grow. Yes. It will grow. Yes. It is said in scripture, and time will not permit me to go to that scripture, that when God's people stand and make a declaration, God is bound to come behind their declaration to make their declaration come to pass. Amen. To glorify his name. So men of God don't just speak by speaking sake. We speak and we speak prophetically. Amen. That is why in praying over you, we say, be well. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will come in between it and cause a manifestation in your body to confirm the word to make you well. Amen. So that every man will remain a liar, but God will remain truth. Amen. This church will grow. As a matter of fact, one pastor called Pastor Ray Bevin made a research and a survey here in the UK. And in his survey and research came up negatively that 70% of pastors in the UK were not interested in growing their church. Apathy has gotten hold of them. Complacency have gotten hold of them, but not this church. This church will grow. We will grow. Because we don't carry the spirit of apathy. We carry a spirit that will progress and bring us to where God has ordained his church to be. You see, God is not against small churches, but God is against small-minded people. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, condemned the church of Laodicea. Because this church has said, we have no need of anything. We are complacent. And Jesus rebuked them. No, we are saying we have need of more of God. We have need of more of God. Let me also say that without fresh revelation and direction, we die. You must always ask the Holy Spirit to give you fresh revelation and direction. Otherwise, you die. And remember, without vision, we decay in the inside. Without vision. So to sustain and to reach your fullest potential, you will need a fresh revelation. Fresh revelation, like I said, of Jesus, a fresh revelation of his word, a fresh revelation of his God's plan for you, especially in these last days. Don't give your now and tomorrow to chance. I've said it over and over again. And in revelation, in having revelation, may God also give you premonition. So that when people are thinking of today, you'll be thinking way ahead of time. Amen. May God give you that insight, premonition, so that you can see and see ahead. You can see good out of every negativity to glorify the name of God. Amen. You must also learn to be in step with God. Jesus said, I do what my Father does. Amen? I do what my Father does. How could Jesus do what his Father was doing? Because his eyes was upon his Father. His heart was in tune with God. As a matter of fact, his whole mind was upon God. Not to please himself, but to please the one who has sent him. And may this be our infatuation. May this be the things that grip us so that we will always learn to be in step with the Almighty God. Number two, in trying to reach your next level of destiny, you also need new resources. You must ask God to show you, you know, your new resources. Personal, you know, I mean resources of persons, resources of finance, and resources of his provision, and so on and so forth. You will need, if we are going to get and rise up to our next dimension of the destiny God has prepared for us, we need new resources. We don't have to be like Hagar in the book of Genesis, who was so tested with a son that because of shock, shame, and sorrow, could not even see that there was a pool of water by her side. And I pray that whatever has covered and blocked our view to see where we can find resources, may the Lord open our eyes. May God open new doors for each and every one of us. Yes. Doors of opportunities, doors of blessing, yes. Doors of encounters, you know, to catapult us and to bring us to the level where God has ordained for each and every one of us. I have a saying which I coined by my own self. I say this, that God will cause coincidence to coincide with you so that you will fulfill your destiny. Amen. God is able to do that. He's able. And so you will need new resources. Number three, you will also need new relationships. And under new relationships, you will need people. People who don't hate dreamers, like Joseph's brethren hated him. You need people, you need the right people to help you. Dr. Mike Murdock said, as an individual, as a person, don't walk with people who deride you and castigate you and cast you down. But go to places and go to people or walk with people who will celebrate you. Amen. Who will celebrate you. They are the kind that will help you to fulfill your dream. As a matter of fact, if you walk with negatives, you'll be negative. If you walk with people who are myopic, short-sighted in saying things, you'll be myopic. But if you walk with people who have visions, you'll also have it. Because like begets like.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need people. Not people who hate dreamers.
But people who will accept and encourage you in whatever dream that God has placed in your heart. You don't need, listen, in life you don't need too many friends. Of course we need friends in church, but we don't need too many friends. We only need those who will be helpful to our lives. As a matter of fact, there are some people who have come across your path that lovingly you must begin to drop them. Because up to this point, they have never been a help to you. And the psychologist will say that it's only a fool, excuse me, who will keep on doing things over and over again and getting the same results. But if you want a different result, you must begin to shift your paradigms. So may the Lord help us. May God give you good people. Good people to help you reach your destiny. To help you build blocks that will bring you into what God has ordained for you. I got this far. I was born again in 1976. Coming from a Roman Catholic background. Being a very religious young man. But not knowing God. And having no experience with Jesus. And I thought I could make it. But in 1976, by the grace and the mercy of God, I encountered Jesus by a supernatural way. And looking back on the street that I was on, having heard a voice say to me, "Paul, be a Christian," I looked back and there was nobody there. And the voice I heard was so captivating. I was walking with two of my friends and I asked them, "Did you hear a voice speaking to me?" Because those were my worldly friends. You know, they were my worldly friends. I drink with them, I smoke with them, I go to dances with them. And they began to deride me and say all manner of things. And said, "Are you also going to hold the Bible and be like those Christians?" But instead of listening to their voice, I listened and paid attention to the voice that came to me supernaturally. And that was a turning point in my life. Leaving these friends and heeding to the voice that came to me, I went home asking myself, what is life all about? And that afternoon, on that Saturday, I began to search the essence of my being here on this planet Earth. The next day, Saturday, I went out, found an old friend who had become born again, and I rehearsed my encounter the previous day to him, and he said, "It was Jesus who spoke to you." And I said, "If Jesus have desired, looking upon all my sins, but had walked on my path and spoken to me that Paul be a Christian, After tasting the world all this while and never found any satisfaction or fulfillment in what the world offers, drinking and smoking and all that, then I will try Jesus, who had come my way to speak with me, and see what my life will amount to. Previous day, I was invited to go to the AOG in Cape Coast, my hometown. There I found a preacher behind a pulpit preaching from the Bible. As a matter of fact, it was the first time I've seen a preacher standing behind a pulpit and preaching from the Word of God. I was so captivated, and I was caught with what he was preaching about. And that was in 1976. Immediately after that short service, the brethren, who were about 15 at that time in the church, there weren't many, pounced on me and asked me, "Are you sure when you die today you'll go to heaven?" I said, "Wait a minute. For where I'm coming from, I'm not sure." And they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. How Jesus came from heaven. How Jesus lived on this earth, sinless. How Jesus took my sins upon him. How he was crucified on the cross. How he was buried in the tomb. How he resurrected on the third day. How he has ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. After hearing the gospel, and this narration is a gospel. The gospel is about, you know, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, the miracles and the supernatural works of Jesus, how he died for you and I, buried in a tomb, and how he resurrected and ascended to heaven. This is the gospel. Paul said, any other thing apart from these narrations is a false gospel. And upon hearing this convicting gospel, I said, I have made a choice. I've tasted the world, but I will taste Christ and see what is in Christ. I gave my heart to him. And from 76 to this point, I have never regretted it. You will never regret it. And what helped me to come to where I am today, was right from the word go of my conversion in 1976 to Christ, I began to walk and attach myself to my pastor. As a matter of fact, my pastor was my everything. My pastor was like a God to me, because encountering Christ and asking myself, where have I been all this while? Because nobody told me that there is some Jesus to believe in. And when I believed, the kind of peace that came into my heart, looking upon my pastor and the message that I heard him preach on that fateful Sunday after my conversion, I took to him. I became his prayer partner. I became his friend. I began to learn from him. He is still alive, Reverend John Hudson. And he is still my friend. He is still my pastor. And out of what my relationship with him, and the prayers we prayed together, and the things we spoke about God, and the things of heaven, is what propelled me and caught my attention to respond to the call of God when Jesus called me in 1980 to be a full-time minister. So I pray that you will not live your life to chance. You wouldn't, because God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose. This is not your end. There is more to come. Irrespective of what you feel and how you feel in your body. We all feel some aches in our bodies sometimes, but we keep on pressing on. We keep on pressing on. Pressing on. Because like Paul, we say, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed into his hands against that day.